Would you now turn to that portion of the word that we read in the book of Psalms and Psalm number 33. Psalm number 33, and taking words for our text this evening, words we find in verse 18. Verse number 18 of Psalm 33. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. And now, friends, as we gather tonight, having had the Lord's Supper this morning, it is the custom for you, I believe, to have this service as a thanksgiving service. And we certainly have a reason for thanksgiving, have we not? To be thankful that the Lord gave us opportunity to sit at his table and to remember his death once again till he come. That he has spared us through the day, and now for this conclusion of the day that we can look to him anew and trust in him and believe in him and to remember that his eye is upon him, upon us. Upon who? Upon them that fear him. And if that is so, we need not fear. It is said that the great liberal philosopher George Bernard Shaw, who seemed to begin life with some semblance of belief, but near the end of his life, as he knew he was dying, he wrote these words. The science, he said, to which I pinned my faith is bankrupt. I helped, he said, to destroy the faith of millions. And now, he said, people look at me and witness the great tragedy of an atheist who has lost all faith. There, friends, speaks a man facing death and the end with nothing, realizing he had nothing that he could cling on to in any way whatsoever. A story is told about some man that comes to mind now who was dying, and his friends, he was a godless man, and his friends were around his deathbed. And they were seeing him sinking, and he was desperately trying, as it were, to keep himself alive, knowing that death was approaching. And they were saying to him, it seems, oh, cling on, cling on. And the man was saying, cling on to what? Cling on to what? He had nothing to cling on to. And so it is, friends, for all who die without Christ. They may have put their trust in princes or in men's sons in whom there is no stay. There is no hope, as we have here in verse 17, a horse, a vain thing for safety, and so on. These things of the world are of no consequence when we come to the end of time. And for George Bernard Shaw and many others, despair at the end. But ah, my friends, how different for you tonight. If you're a believer, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no need for any despair, however difficult life might be for us. And the Christian man or woman, boy or girl, can always face in faith whatever lies ahead. And that, friends, includes death. It includes death. Many things in this life that we have to face, even in our day-to-day living, in our difficulties, in our trials. But when faith is there, what a difference that makes for us. You see, When death comes, where does your confidence lie? Is it not in the one who has conquered death? We will remember him this morning as he gave his life on the cross of Calvary, but that he rose again for our justification. And is it not in him now, in the risen Christ, that our hope is and our confidence tonight is? And particularly that he himself said and told us, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. He has gone ahead of you, Christian, to prepare that glory for you. And so we have been remembering today the Lord's death. We have remembered the Lord's death till he come. Not in helplessness, not in hopelessness, but as Peter puts it elsewhere, having a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now can you say tonight, that's where my hope lies. That's everything to me, what Christ has done for me. And here we are speaking about the Lord's eye being upon his people at all times. We can be confident in that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Some of yourselves here have gone through, I know, difficult times. In the past maybe few years, some trials and tribulations and separation from loved ones in different ways. But here is the hope that we have. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He tells us, he tells you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. We believe, friends, that the Lord's eye is upon us at all times. And so if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, we're, you know what, you're as safe tonight here in this church as a believer as those who have already gone to glory. Those who have already attained to be with Christ, which is far better. But friends, here tonight, you are just as safe as they are if you are a believer in Christ. You believer are just as secure now in this life, as it were, in your physical body, as those who in spirit look upon the face of Christ in glory. Oh yes, I know. There is a great difference. And this world with all its sin and the sin that's in our own hearts still we struggle with. But it doesn't and will not separate you from Christ if you are in union with him, as we saw this morning, to be in union with him first and then we're in communion with him. And it's being in union with him that we're in communion with him, and being in union with him, we will be with him. Nothing shall take that or break that bond between us. And so, friends, tonight, be encouraged in this. Be encouraged particularly in the words here. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Well, let us look then at that particularly this evening. First of all, God's interest in his people. God's interest in his people. The psalmist here introduced this glorious truth with a behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them, fear him. That word, behold, you know the idea. Think about it. Consider this. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Be astonished, friends, as if he's saying here, be astonished at that. Be astonished by what I'm telling you here, the psalmist is saying. Now there may be in your life, as you look back, likely have been a time in your life, as it was in mine, when you would have been at least occasionally uncomfortable, if not afraid at the thought of God seeing you in certain situations. Would it not be true for yourself, as you look back on your life, that there were times maybe when you were brought to some awareness of the reality of sin in your own life, even maybe knowing even a slight measure of conviction of sin, knowing God has seen me in this situation. But tonight, friend, despite your continuing struggle with your sinful nature, if you know and are sure tonight that God knows you as you are in Christ, it is not with trembling in that sense that you were before, but with it bringing you comfort and hope in your life. Not that you don't sin still, but you know that your sins are forgiven. Now, of course, we know that God sees everything and everyone in this world. Nothing is hid from him. But his own people, they are seen in a different light. His eye is upon them in this way that they are seen as they are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in being united to Christ, his beloved son, they're in that covenant of redemption, and you are precious to him. You are precious to him. What a wonderful thought that is, it not? Me precious to Christ. You can say that, believer. He has a special interest in you, Christian. His eye is upon you. To what extent? To this extent, in verse 19, to deliver their soul from death. To deliver their soul from death. That is from an eternal death, not the physical. And that will never harm you. No, it won't have any power over you. That death will not have any power over you because you've been delivered from. Yes, we all probably have to die, but there is that eternal death. You're now delivered from that. This is what he has done for you. His interest in you assures you that you will need not fear these things. He ensures you are there and that he provides for you. Now, friends, this we mentioned in the morning, common grace. You know what we mean by that, of course. But this is more than just common grace. You know that Scripture speaks about good unto all men is the Lord. And in a sense, that's true for everyone. Because the Lord gives us day after day, and some of us for year after year before we came to know him. He spares us. But this is more, you see, than common grace. What we have here, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. It is about particular grace that is there in that eye that is looking upon you. And so, friend, even in the times of distress and in the times of the sense of the power of the enemy of your soul and in the midst of the storms of this life that come your way in this life, there is always still that still, small voice, because his eye is upon you, the voice that says, in every difficulty, be still and know that I am God. Now, if you're a Christian here tonight, you'll know something of that sense of peace, from time to time at least, in your own experience. And so, knowing him in that way, and remember the disciples, it said on another occasion, what manner of man is this? He commands even the wind and the water to obey him. Well, what manner of man is this? What man, what a God man that is caring for you, having died for you. And you're assured by knowing that his eye is upon you at all times, that he is one who cares for you. He is one who loves you. He is one that will not let you go. His interest in you is an interest that will have no end. My dear friend, here is surely the God that David knew. Is not that not the Lord you have come to know yourself? Isn't it a great comfort for you tonight to have that assurance of faith that even in the greatest days of trouble that you have, but the Lord is looking after me. The Lord's eye is upon me. The Lord will not leave me to myself. That is a hope that we have, and you're thankful for it. There was a day when you might have been terrified at the thought of God seeing you in certain situations. But now, even as you are with all your failings and faults, there's a comfort in knowing at times such as these, the presence of the Lord. And you tonight to love the Lord, who sat at the Lord's table today, maybe, remember, yes, his eye is upon you, but you know there is something more, there is a truth that there's something more intimate than that. You are yourself, we read in Zechariah, as the apple of his eye. Isn't there something precious and personal about that? And what are we told about there in the prophecy? That you are as the apple of his eye, and he that toucheth you toucheth him. You see how precious you are. You see how assured you can be that he will ever be with you. You know how it is, the eye, most tender part of the eye, easily hurt with the least thing. And so like the Lord's people in Christ are, as it were, part of himself. They are members of the body. That's what you are. A member of the body of Christ, closely united to him. And whatever injury is done to you, he treats it as something done to himself. What care then? What love? What concern the Lord has for you? My friend, never lose sight of that. That he is caring, that he is watching over you, that he is ensuring that you will be safe. My friend, do you see then how much care and interest the Lord has in you personally? That is surely comes across here. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them. The eye of the Lord. But then we have, secondly, a description of God's people here. What's a description of you, Christian, here? The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Them that fear him. Now that fear, of course, it's a godly fear. That's what we have here. Not the fear that maybe some would have when they're under conviction of sin, knowing that you've sinned against the Lord. Here is a godly fear. Those who live with a desire not to offend God. Is that a description of you tonight? Oh, you say, oh, I know, but I fail so often. Yes, of course you do. Because you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we are sinners. And we do fail. But can you say truly that this is your desire? Oh, that I would not offend God. That I would live my life looking to him. This is about, friends, this fear is about a holy reverence for God. It is living with an awareness that his eye is upon you. That is what is behind this. That is what causes the fear. Knowing who he is, what he has done for you, and what he has promised still to do. Now, friends, this is not something that only belongs to some believers. And it's certainly not something that only belongs to an old, experienced Christian. It is, in some measure, the experience of every single Christian the moment you believe. There will be a measure of this for you. The moment you come into faith in Christ, it includes this godly fear in our hearts. Because you see him now in a different light. You see him now as the one who has done all for you. You don't forget, of course, that he's a consuming fire. But you do remember above everything else what he has done for yourself. That's why people sat at the Lord's table today here and many other places throughout the world. Because they know him in this way. And so God is seen in Christ now in a completely different light. Here then, friend, that should be an encouragement to you this evening. Do you know something of what I'm speaking about here? Do you know something of this godly fear, this reverence? Well, if you do, it's a sure sign. That doesn't arise from the heart that has not repented. It's a sure sign if you know it, it is assured evidence that you have come to know him. You see, there is no true knowledge of God without this godly fear. This godly fear that we're speaking about here. This is not speaking of the fear of hell in this text. It's not speaking about the fear of damnation that we might have at some times. It's not speaking about the fear of the wrath of God in judgment. It is not the fear of death even. It is to do with something else. It is to do with what Al Martin called, it is to do with the presence of God and a constant awareness of our obligation to him. To do with the presence of God and a constant awareness of our obligation to him. Obligation for what? Oh, for what he has done for you. What you have come to realize about him. What he has done for you in Christ. That your sins are forgiven. That you're no longer under the wrath and the judgment of God. That you have the hope of glory. So this is what we have here, friends. In this text before us here, there is this fear. It is a godly fear. It is a fear, surely, that will be true for every single person in the whole world who has ever come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who are able to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I believe in him. I believe that he died for me. I believe that he will take me to be with himself one day. The Christ you have remembered this morning at the supper of the Lord. The one who has sins forgiven my sins. And therefore, I have the hope of glory. That's surely part of what's included in this fear. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Them that fear him. But then there is also a second aspect to it. Is there not at the end of verse 18? Upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Them that hope in his, these are beautiful words. Those that hope in his mercy. A lovely description of the Christian, isn't it? Who is that? Oh, that's a Christian. What can he say for himself? I am someone who hopes in his mercy. What an answer to give to anyone who asks you what it means to be a Christian. Or you can say, I am someone who has come to hope in God's mercy. And not only come to it in that way, but you've experienced it in your own life. Now, of course, it's linked in to our first point of fear here. Lord, them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. You see, they are no longer those who in verse 16 and 17 who were trusting in kings and mighty men to save them. Horses, a vain thing, or all these things. It is now, these things are left behind. These things are no longer what you depend on as you once did. This is now a new situation that you are in. You are now just hoping, not in your own works. Remember at one time, friend, when you thought that I'll do this and I won't do that, and I'll do the next thing, and that way God will be pleased with me. But then this came along, an understanding of the need of mercy. And when you knew that mercy, it transformed and changed everything. You now know the pardon of sin. You now have that hope in this mercy. And because of that, what else have you got? You've got the hope of eternal life. That where I am, there ye may be also. And are you not now encouraged to hope that, to have that hope arising from the abundance of his mercy, the mercy in the heart of God? Some people speak about, and you know how it is, some people speak about hope. Well, I hope that'll work out tomorrow. I hope to go there next week. I hope that the weather will be better. I hope this is not that kind of hope. That kind of hope is just something uncertain. But the person who hopes in the mercy of God, it is a sure hope. It cannot be other than a sure hope. It's a certainty, friend. And if you are in Christ tonight, this is the certainty. You have the mercy of God, and because you have the mercy of God, there is that hope of eternal life. It's guaranteed for you, absolutely guaranteed that this will be so for you. Oh yes, death, temporal death may overtake you, but he will deliver you, friend. He will deliver your soul from spiritual and eternal death. That is the hope that we have, is it not? To deliver their soul from death, verse 19, and to keep them alive in famine. To deliver your soul from death. There's that mercy. A wonderful thought, wonderful word, a beautiful, beautiful words here in the note that you hope in his mercy. Can I ask you then, is this you tonight? Are you hoping in his mercy? Hoping in his mercy not based on maybe of any kind. Not based on something that you did or didn't do. It is a certain hope you should have if you are those who trust in the Lord tonight. To be assured of this, you can be assured. People speak about, oh well, can I know for sure that I will be in heaven one day? You can. You can have that full assurance. What is required of you? Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. You're assured and can be assured because of who Christ is and what he has promised. And if you believe the promises, and why would you doubt? And surely that's a Christian again, one who believes in the promises of God. And if you believe in the promise of God, you believe in himself. And if you believe in himself, then you have that, you know something of that mercy. And along with that, you have that hope that that will bring you to the desired haven one day. I think that the hymn writer, Augustus Toplady, puts it beautifully. In these words, a debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. From view. That's the hope we have, that this is what he has done. Beautiful thought indeed, surely for the Christian here tonight. Them that hope in his mercy. Again, I ask you, can you put your own name to this? That this is me. With all my fears and failings and faults, I do hope in his mercy. And oh, friends, what mercy, what grace, what love that hides all our transgressions from you. Think about them for yourself. Where are your transgressions hidden? Friend, they are nailed to that cross of Calvary. All your sins are there upon him. The one who took our nature. The one that we sought to draw near to at the table of the Lord today. Mercy. I wonder if there's people speak about some of the attributes of God. Mercy is surely one that the Christian should always have to the fore in considering this. Is this not something that precious to yourself tonight? I know my sins are forgiven. I know something of this, therefore, this mercy in my life. And because of it, I have the hope of heaven. Christ in me, the hope of glory. My dear friend, I hope you can know that for yourself today. Yes, we need pardon and we need forgiveness. And that is all tied up also in the mercy of God. There's a story told of a mother who once approached Emperor Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. He had done many wrong things, this young man, and he was being sentenced to death. And this mother went to see Napoleon, it seems, and the emperor replied that the young man had committed so many offenses and justice demanded his death. And the mother said, "But I'm not asking for justice, I am pleading for mercy." But the man said, "Your son does not deserve mercy," Napoleon said. And the woman cried, "Sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." And seemingly he spared the woman's son. "It would not be mercy if you deserved it. But you don't deserve it, but you still have it. And God, in his mercy and grace, has done this for all his people." So, friends, as we conclude our communion thanksgiving, what better note than to contemplate the eye of the Lord upon you, having the fear of God in your heart, rejoicing in the abundance and the astonishing mercy he has shown you today itself. Think about anew, friend. Oh, think about what he has done for you. Think and consider and meditate on these things and be encouraged by them. Be encouraged by them. Sometimes doing so, yes, you know what? Sometimes, as we consider them, your eye of faith will be full of tears. And at the same time, your heart may be bursting with joy at the thought of what God in Christ has done for you. Do you know that experience yourself? At the table of the Lord, sometimes we are overwhelmed with joy. And other times we are overwhelmed with grief at our sin that cost our Savior so much. Well, friends, what better spiritual condition to be in ending a communion season, than to think about these things, the eye of the Lord being upon you, you that fear him, upon you that hope in his mercy. Think about it. May I also give a word of caution? Don't wait until the next communion season to again spend, as it were, real time in the presence of your Savior. Daily seek his face. Daily resolve to become more and more Christ-like. Daily thank him for what he has done, that he has not dealt with you according to your sin, and daily hope in his mercy. And you have every reason to do so, and I can have every confidence in doing so, because it is his mercy. It is all of grace. It is all of Christ. And that is where, is it not, your own hope lies this evening. May he bless these thoughts to us. Let us pray. Oh, blessed Lord, help us tonight to be thankful anew for thy loving kindness and care and for thy long suffering toward us. Can we not say goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of our lives? But oh, the goodness and mercy that we know since coming to know Christ. And we pray tonight then that we would know something of that holy fear that would have us worship and adore, remembering that thine eye is upon us, but in that remembering also that we would not forget the mercy of God. And that mercy is particularly for the people of God. Upon them that hope in his mercy, there is that sure hope that one day they will be with him where he is. So bless us, Lord. Follow with thy blessing all that has been done today in thy name. We pray that thou would sanctify us as we go on through life and accept us in Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen.